I wanted to finish up with Abraham first, but let me go back and talk about Lot and show you that this pattern of good, then bad, exists for him as well. So let's start off again, good. Genesis 13, Lot had many possessions, so much so that he and Abraham, still called Abram at this time, had to split up because the Lord had blessed both of them greatly. Now something bad, Lot moves to Sodom. Of course, we know about the Bible story of Sodom and Gomorrah. But before the Lord destroyed Sodom, there was a war. There were four kings who arrayed themselves against five kings, one of them being the king of Sodom. And the four kings beat the five kings. All of the names of the kings are in chapter 14 of Genesis, if you want to read about them. Lot was taken into captivity along with all the people of Sodom. At the time, the Bible says that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinning greatly against the Lord. Abraham, however, to save his nephew, and this would be back to something good, rescues Lot. And Lot gets all his wealth back. So I'm sure he's very thankful to Abraham and to the Lord. And he once again is a prosperous man. Right back to bad. What does Lot do? He goes back to Sodom. Sodom becomes exceedingly wicked. So much so that 2 Peter 2, verse 7 says that Lot was vexed, using the King James word, which means troubled or distressed or even tormented by the conduct of the men of Sodom. But Lot stays there anyway. The angels come, and what happens, of course, is the angels tell him basically, flee for your life. So Lot, once wealthy, loses everything. On the journey, Lot's wife turns and looks back at the city and is turned into a pillar of salt. And as his two daughters and he make it, his daughters, I wonder if they thought maybe this was the end of the world and there was no one left, devise a plan and get him drunk and get pregnant by him. The older daughter gave birth to Moab, the father of the Moabites, and the younger to Ben-Ammi, who became the father of the Ammonites. It's curious because after this, the Bible doesn't say anything more about Lot. We don't know what the rest of his life was like or how long he lived, but we can see what his lineage became. These would be the two sons that he fathered through his daughters. The Moabites became a wretched people, worshiping pagan gods. The king of Moab, Balak, summons Balaam to call down a curse on Israel. However, God orders Balaam to bless the Israelites instead. Numbers 25, we see that the women of Moab used sex to try to lure the Israelite men to worship the Moabites' pagan gods and turn the Israelites away from the Lord. The Ammonites also became a thorn to Israel. They refused to assist the Israelites when they wandered in the wilderness. They worshiped pagan gods, and Solomon, of course we know him as the son of David, actually married an Ammonite woman who led him to worship a pagan god. In 1 Samuel 11, verse 2, an Ammonite leader wanted to gouge out the right eye of every Israelite man in the town of Jabesh-Gilead as part of a treaty. And we read in the book of Amos, first chapter, verse 13, says, the men of Ammon ripped open the pregnant women of Gilead to extend their borders. And God even used these people against Israel when Israel turned away from him. They had become so wicked that for 18 years, God put them under these evil people until they finally cried out for deliverance. Now the prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Zephaniah all prophesy about Moab's destruction, which occurred around 582 BC when it was destroyed by the Babylonians. And the Ammonites are believed to have disappeared sometime around the 2nd century AD. It's not clear exactly what happened to them. They could have been simply absorbed by the peoples around them, but both Moab and the Ammonites finally met their end, wicked people that they were. This is the life of Lot, as it's told in the Bible. Again, you see some things good. Lot was a righteous man, but he made some really bad decisions. The biggest, of course, was to live around such evil people as those of Sodom, and it cost him dearly, very dearly. And then you have his descendants, who were evil, who were wicked, and a thorn in the side of Israel for many years. So, there you see it again. You see the Bible recording good, and the Bible recording bad. We're probably not going to look too much more at this good-bad relationship. I don't want to do it with every single person we look at in the Bible, but this just gives you an idea that men of the Bible, righteous men of the Bible, aren't always good, or at least they don't always do good, and can make some really bad decisions. So, again, don't be discouraged. Yes, I understand if you make your wrong decisions, there is guilt, and there's going to be a little bit of shame. That's good. That's called being humble. But just understand that the men of the Bible, the men whom we call righteous people, great people, they were definitely flawed, just like us. So next we're going to look at Isaac, and we're going to see his life as told in the Bible. Once again, you'll see some good and some bad. We won't go back and forth quite the same way as we did in this, but you'll see it. You'll see that he's not a perfect man. But the Lord still blessed him, and it was through Isaac that God's promise was fulfilled. So we'll be speaking about Isaac coming up in the next session.